We're in 1 Samuel chapter 14 today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, and I've got to turn my page and it sticks together. Amazing how that happens. Said unto the young man that bore his armor, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bore his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Jonathan didn't know what would happen, if anything. But he did know that things were not good the way they were in this standoff. So he had to try something. You know, there's a fine line between contentment and complacency. God wants us to be advancing in our faith, pushing forward in the kingdom of God. But at the same time, he wants us to be content knowing that we can't do or have anything beyond what God allows. Verse 2. And Saul tarried in the farthest part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people who were with him were about 600 men. And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. The ephod was a garment worn by the priest. It also contained a pocket for a couple of sacred stones, which were used to discern the will of God. The important thing to see is that King Saul had access to God if he cared enough to look to him. Verse 4. And between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Sene. The one crag was situated northward over toward Michmash, and the other southward over toward Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Jonathan walked over to the Philistine outpost, hoping to mix it up with them. It didn't matter to him that it would be Jonathan and his armor bearer against the whole Philistine outpost. He didn't care. The question wasn't, can God beat the odds? The question was, is it God's will to fight? All Jonathan had to be concerned about was moving in the Spirit. And everything else will take care of itself. And that's the same with us. If you know you're in God's will, you have nothing else to worry about. God is driving. You're just along for the ride. Verse 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Whatever Jonathan decides is okay with his helper. Jonathan can be trusted. He knows what he's doing, and he does the right thing. Godly people do not always need to give an explanation for their decisions. People who really know them are people who will really trust them, and therefore they won't always need an explanation from them. Verse 8, then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will reveal ourselves unto them. All Jonathan needed to hear from his armor-bearer is, I'm with you all the way. And in response to that, Jonathan says, let's cross over and let them see us. Giving a person who really loves God a little bit of encouragement is sort of like letting a tiger out of its cage. Verse 9. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. So if the enemy says, hey, we are coming to you, then we won't go to them. Makes sense. If something is coming to you, you don't have to go to it. You don't have to force something that's being offered to you. And then verse 10, but if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Jonathan was confident that the Lord would give them success if they would take advantage of the opportunity given by God. When God swings open a door and invites his people to enter, it is not for the purpose of losing. If we obey, then God will do something through us. He will accomplish something through us. Verse 11, and both of them disclosed themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hidden themselves. What an insult to God's people. To be mocked by pagans, to be ridiculed as cowards. I'd rather be dead. Rather be a dead lion than a live dog, as the Bible says. Verse 12, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor-bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you something. And Jonathan said unto his armor-bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Jonathan is thinking, they're going to teach us a lesson? Is that what they think? Let's go. God will teach them a lesson. You know, this tough talk of the Philistines did not intimidate Jonathan one bit. Faith in God melts away fear and intimidation. 13, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor-bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew them after him. And that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made, was about 20 men within, as it were, an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Outwardly, everything was against Jonathan. They were outnumbered. They didn't have the element of surprise. The enemy was even watching them approach. Jonathan has to be tired as he climbs to the top of the mountain on his hands and his knees. No one would ever believe that they could win. Everything was against them until you add God to the mix. God changes everything. 15, and there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. There was no visible reason for their panic. What in the world did they have to panic for, right? No visible reason for their panic, and no one could put their finger on why it was there. Well, it was there because God, who makes the heart of man, also knows how to make it tremble. 16. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Amazing. The Philistines were afraid. They started to scatter. When God flexes his muscle, sinners melt. They fall apart. 17. Then said Saul unto the people who were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor-bearer were not there. So up until now, no one in the Israeli camp, not even Saul the king, knew what Jonathan and his armor-bearer did to the enemy. I gotta like Jonathan, you know? He did not take an opinion poll. He just did it. We do not need anyone's approval to do what God wants us to do. And anyone who thinks that you need their approval has a God complex, and I'd turn my back on them and I'd walk away. 18. And Saul said unto Ahijah, bring here the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. Sometimes God wants us to hurry. But if we're too busy to set aside time to pray, then our schedule is out of God's will, and something needs to be eliminated. Verse 20. And Saul and all the people who were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great confusion. When God is on your side, you're not going to lack anything. Even if the odds are stacked against you, doesn't matter, because God can reverse the odds by making your opponents opponents of each other. 21. Moreover, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. So some of the Israelites had deserted over to the Philistines, but now that things are going well, they come back. Evidently, they had no convictions except one. They wanted to be on the winning team, just like some political party leaders. They don't care about the country. They really don't. It's secondary. They care about their party winning the election. And so they're flip-flopping, compromising all over the place. 22. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. The Israelites got a sudden surge of courage when they saw God move on their behalf. The Israelites have the momentum for the first time in a long time, and they're going to run with it as hard as they possibly can. When God gives you a green light, it's a good idea to floor it, because you never know how long it's going to last. 23. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. In Jonathan, the son of Saul, God had a man of faith. A man of faith that he could work through, and he did. Jonathan's zeal for God would not allow him to be happy with the way things were. You know, all it takes is one person who says, that's it. I'm sick of the way things are. God wants better. I want better. I'm going to get sold out to God so that he can use me to make things better. That's what God is looking for. You can be that person. I can be that person if we choose to.